We also have our Instagram page. For those of you who are into Instagram, there's some more pictures up there. So, you know, feel free to go on ahead and check it out. So we're in the middle of our series, Christ, We Adore You. And, you know, we have been studying who Christ is. And the word, remember that the word adore comes from two Latin words, ad orare, which means to speak. And as we learn to adore Christ, we will speak to him and we will speak of him. And the truth is, you know, we can only speak of Christ if we grow in our adoration of Jesus. And the truth is, you know, we come to Christ. I became a Christian when I was a senior in college, and I was so blown away by what I read in the Bible. But when I look back at what I knew about Christ back then to what I know now, my knowledge of Jesus has expanded. And my appreciation of what he has done for me has expanded. And so I just want to encourage you all to grow. Let us all grow in our knowledge of Jesus so that we can adore him and we can speak of him. So today the message is Christ, our high priest forever. Christ, our high priest forever. And we're going to read from Hebrews 4, 12 through 16. I'm going to read all the way through Hebrews 5, 1 through 14. So it's a big chunk of spiritual food here. So stay with me, okay? All right, let's begin. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, He learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. All right, so that's the text that we're gonna examine today, all right? And so in this passage that we just read, the Hebrew writer makes two important assertions. And the first one, he says, we have a high priest who has ascended into heaven. So that's an assertion that was made in the passage that we just read. We have a high priest who has ascended into heaven. And the second assertion that is made is Christ is the source of eternal salvation and was designated to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So those are the two assertions we're going to look at today. The first assertion was found in Hebrews 4:14, and the second is Hebrews 5:8-10. Okay, let's go back to the first one. We have a high priest who has ascended into heaven. When we look at that assertion, the first thing we have to ask ourselves is, well, who is the we? Who is the we? Who is the Hebrew writer speaking about when he says we? Is he talking about everybody in the world? Is he talking about just the people who he's writing to? Who is the we, right? And so we gotta look at that first, because some people may read this and go, well, that must mean me too. You know, anybody can buy a Bible and be of any religious persuasion. They could be Buddhist, they could be Hindu, they could be Muslim, and they read that and go, well, you see, well, I have a high priest too, right? But this is where we have to be careful. The we are the people who have confessed Jesus Lord, repented of their sins, and been baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. So when you look at the big blue circle with all human beings, right, who have lived from after Jesus's resurrection to now, that's the blue circle. But the we are the people who have confessed Jesus Lord, repented of their sins, and been baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. So if you have done those things, this passage is talking to you. He says, we have a high priest. And the Hebrew writer is speaking boldly, and he's speaking confidently. There's no maybe, there's no ambiguity in his statement. Everyone who has believed in Christ may rest in the complete confidence, knowing that we have a high priest who sits in heaven right now and appeals to God on our behalf. Does that fire you up or what? That fires me up. That we have a high priest who is seated in majestic glory in the heavenly realms and who speaks on our behalf. That is an incredible spiritual truth that we must grasp firmly. Now, he speaks about the high priest. And it's been some time since we have been exposed to the Jewish tradition. Okay? We never lived in that era. But the high priest served the people of Israel in a very important role. And so we have to talk about the importance of the high priest for you to understand why he is telling his audience that we have a high priest who has ascended into heaven. The function of the priesthood in the Old Testament was to offer sacrifices to God on behalf of the people. But the high priest had a very special function. Only he was permitted to enter the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement to offer sacrifices for himself and the nation of Israel. The Day of Atonement was one of the greatest days in the Jewish calendar. The high priest would be adorned in priestly robes. As you see here, this is sort of a graphic of what the high priest could have looked like. He would be adorned in priestly robes. Small bells were attached to his robe so he could be heard when he walked. And he would enter the most holy place on that day. And the Holy of Holies remained unseen and untouched for 1 year since the previous Day of Atonement. The high priest puts himself at great risk, because if God does not forgive him for his sins or the nation of Israel, God would strike the high priest down dead while offering sacrifices. That's how dangerous this job was. Some historians say that a rope was attached to the waist of the high priest as he entered into the Holy of Holies, because if he was struck down, nobody could go in there to bring the body out. So they would tie a rope around him in the event that God did not forgive the high priest or the nation of Israel, so they could drag him out. This is pretty serious. It's a great responsibility to offer sins to God on behalf of yourself and the people. And only one man was called and was able to do that. If you went in there and you were not the high priest, immediately you would die. If you were frustrated with the high priest that he wasn't doing his job properly, and you say, no, I'm going to go in there and do it myself, goodbye. We'd be having a funeral for you. That's how serious this was. So the Hebrew writer makes the assertion, we have a high priest who has ascended into heaven. The question is, when we read stuff like this, it may not grab you immediately. You may not go, oh, I get it. That makes sense. But you got to really think, why is this important? Why is this assertion so important? Well, it's important because if Jesus is our high priest who is in heaven, then we have no need for the earthly office of a priesthood. You get that? If Jesus is our high priest, then we have no need for the earthly office of the priesthood. It is null and void. We don't need it because Jesus is our high priest, right? Now, if we do not believe that we have a high priest in the heavenly realm, then we will always be searching for someone to serve as high priest on earth. You know, it is really our it is our human nature. We want to have a representative to speak for us. I think that there is something deeply within each human being to desire that. We want to know that we have this man who will go and speak on our behalf. Well, that's why the Hebrew writer is saying, as Christians, we need to be confident that we have a man, Jesus, who is in the heavenly realms. If we don't believe that, if we are doubtful, if we're not really sure of the importance of that assertion, then we're always going to be searching for someone on earth to serve in that capacity as high priest. So I was raised in the Catholic tradition. My dad's Catholic, my family on my father's side is Catholic. I went to Catholic school. And it is part of the Catholic tradition to venerate the Pope, right? Millions of Catholics all over the world venerate the Pope. And at the First Vatican Council in 1870, the Catholic Church established the doctrine of papal infallibility. Papal infallibility. And what that means is that once you have been appointed Pope, you can issue any decree, and the entire body of believers of the Catholic Church must accept that your decree is infallible, even if it contradicts Scripture. Now, you may not be aware that that's how this thing operates, but I'm telling you, as one who was firmly embedded in the tradition, they're not going to go and tell everybody on YouTube, this is what we believe, but that is what the Catholics believe. And that's a picture of Pope Francis, and you see he is adorned with robes, right? He's adorned with robes, and he looks like a priest in the tradition of Aaron. There's a lot of outward glory. But the scripture says, we have a high priest, and he's not on earth. The Pope is seen as a ruling agent in the Catholic Church. And why do Catholics all over the world accept this? Because they have a dominant belief that the Pope is the successor to the Apostle Peter. And they look to a human being because their faith in Christ is weak. And I tell you, if we don't believe that we have a high priest in the heavenly realm, then we will always be searching for someone to serve as high priest on earth. In various church denominations, it is not uncommon for a charismatic leader to assert that he has some special prophetic role, or even go as far as to claim he is the Messiah. Okay? Some of these guys who are leading their different denomination, they're very charismatic, they're very popular, and it gets to a point where people have invested so much of their faith into this person that he tells them, I am the Messiah. And they believe him. You may not remember this, but many years ago, Reverend Jim Jones of the People's Temple convinced his followers that he was a prophet, and many eventually came to believe that he was the Messiah. Jim Jones took 900 of his followers to Jonestown, Guyana, and opened up a camp, I guess. And it's a very convoluted story, But at the end of the day, Jim Jones was able to influence people to drink a mix of Kool-Aid and cyanide, which resulted in the deaths of 900 people, many of whom were children. And that's Mr. Jones there in robes. Definitely, visually, one can look at someone who is dressed like that and think, well, maybe. And the authorities who have researched the case, there were a few survivors, were perplexed. They were like, well, how is it that people just simply obeyed Reverend Jones? How did they just, I mean, they knew that they were drinking cyanide. They knew it. How you just obey someone like that? I believe they obeyed him because they believed that he was the Messiah. And I'm saying the members of the People's Temple may not have read what was written in the Hebrew text, or if they read it, they may not have fully understood it, or they may not have fully believed it, but the scripture says we have a high priest. There is no need for Jim Jones to serve as my representative for anybody. There's no need for the Pope to serve as a representative for anybody. Because we already have a high priest. Do you see how important this is? And if there is any doubt in your mind about that assertion that the Hebrew writer makes, if you do not believe that we have a high priest in the heavenly realm, then I'm telling you, we will always be searching for somebody on earth to serve in that capacity. So it's good to study these scriptures and ask ourselves, do I really believe this? Assertion number two. The second assertion the Hebrew writer makes is that Christ is the source of eternal salvation and was designated to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Now, the Hebrew writer is very careful to establish how Jesus came to serve as high priest. He said, and no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when he was called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, you are my son, today I have become your father. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus did not push himself forward. It was not like if there was a competition between Moses and Jesus, and let's see who's the more popular one. Let's see who gets more votes. It wasn't anything like that. It wasn't like if they were opponents. You know, like today, Kansas City is going to go against Philadelphia, and they're going to clash on the football field, and the winner of that clash is going to win the Super Bowl. It wasn't like if Jesus was clashing with Muhammad and going, okay, clash, 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 I'm the winner. Nothing like that. The Bible says he was designated by God. What does that mean? The word designation, there's a sense of formal authority that God formally authorized Christ to serve in this position. And if God formally authorizes someone to serve in that position, who is going to argue with God? What you gonna do? Take him to court? God designated Jesus to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Now, the Hebrew writer introduces a character of great mystery in verse 10, Melchizedek. And today we do not have time to delve into this person. We're going to do that next week. But it's important to know that in the book of Hebrews, the name Melchizedek features prominently. He is mentioned 8 times in the book of Hebrews. 8 times. Only Abraham's name is mentioned more. And so if we're reading something in the New Testament where this character is elevated and we don't fully understand what's the big deal with Melchizedek, then it is incumbent upon you, the reader of the book of Hebrews, to ask yourself, why is he so important? And so your homework assignment is to read all you can in the New Testament and the Old about Melchizedek so you can be fully equipped for next Sunday's message. Amen? Now, why is this assertion important? Why is this assertion important for my faith? Okay, why? Well, anyone who does not believe that Jesus is the source of salvation has rejected God's plan of salvation and will remain separated from him. Okay, because God has said, if you want a path to me, you must come through Jesus. You can't ease your way around it. You can't say, well, I want special consideration. Nor can you say, well, I didn't grow up in a culture that talked about Jesus. None of those are excuses. Jesus is the source of salvation. Now, in our world today, you've heard it. Well, there are many paths to God. Let me tell you clearly, that is a myth. Because if you really believe what the Hebrew writer asserted, that the only path to salvation is through Jesus, then this idea of many paths to God is a bunch of baloney. And this assertion is important because it is true. And when it comes to spiritual matters, the truth is what will set us free. Christ, we adore you. We adore you as our high priest who is in the heavenly realms. And we adore you because God has designated you high priest forever. So, brothers and sisters and friends, do your homework. Let us marinate on the two great assertions we examined today. Let us press on to spiritual maturity, and may our adoration of Christ increase greatly. Amen. Amen. At this